Great. Good evening, everyone. This is a meeting of the Pacifica National Board's Finance Committee. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiekert. I'm the chair. It's Tuesday, June 9th, 2015. I'll ask our Secretary R. Paul Martin to please call the roll.
Okay. Lydia Brisson. Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Bill Crozier.
Here.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts. Barbara Wiberman. Okay, we have six.
Thank you, R. Paul. I sent out a draft agenda last night. I'll pull it up and recite the condensed version over the stream. Okay, so the proposed agenda is agenda approval, minutes approval. Under old business, the two pending motions at the PNB that I thought the Finance Committee might want input on. The first is what we ended our last meeting discussing, LSB review budget motion. The second is a motion we've not yet discussed, sideband motion that was advanced by the WBAI LSB. And the fifth item we have on the agenda is new business, which is the proposed affiliates underwriting program. I attached to the agenda a document from our affiliates coordinator, Ursula Brudenberg. Now, Ursula is on the call, and so is John Proffitt, our executive director. And Ursula, we generally try to arrange our agendas so that we don't soak up more of staff's time than we have to. Would it be more convenient to you if we discussed that earlier in the evening?
That'd be great.
Okay.
Same with me.
So would anybody – well, first I'll take a motion to approve the agenda, then we can rejigger it.
So moved.
Okay. Novick moves approval of the agenda. I'm going to propose moving the 15-minute discussion of the proposed affiliates underwriting program to what would be item 3.1, in other words, immediately after minutes approval. Is there any objection to doing that?
Adriana?
Adriana, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm driving. I'm not home yet, and I wasn't able to read the proposal, but that's okay. If everybody's okay, I mean, I will see. Okay, that's okay.
Okay, so just to clarify, you're expressing reservations, but you're not actually calling for a vote.
No, what I'm saying is I'm driving, and I was thinking, well, I know what we are talking before, and that would give me time to read the affiliate proposal, but the first thing that we take, obviously I cannot drive and read. But
okay.
That's okay.
Did I hear a point of order?
Point of information from Serene.
What's your question, Serene?
To Adriana, how long before you get to a computer?
It would take me like 20 minutes, something like that.
Okay, then I would propose that we discuss insert the affiliates thing before the sideband thing and
begin
with the budget review motion.
So, Serene, I'll take that as an amendment to my amendment, and the effect of that would be to move what is currently item 5A, the affiliate underwriting program, to make it item 4.A.1. Put it after the LSB review budget motion.
Fine.
Is there any objection to Serene's amendment?
Okay. Question?
Yes.
So that would move affiliates underwriting program to, what is that again?
To immediately after 4A.
So that would be 4B?
It would be the new 4B, and 4B would become the new 4C.
Oh. And Bill for the stack.
Or Paul for stack.
Okay, I've got Bill, and then I've got our Paul. Go ahead, Bill.
Well, I guess I'd like to amend Serene's amendment to go ahead and move the, as you were suggesting, Brian, to move the affiliates underwriting program to right after minutes approval. I think the other two motions are going to take a lot more discussion time, and I think we can, there's both some urgency and importance of the affiliates proposal, so I want to make sure we have time for that.
Sure. We'll take that as debate, because that was my amendment. So what you want to do then is vote against Serene's modification of my amendment.
Correct.
Go ahead, Arpal.
Yeah. Okay, fast. You have it as old business. It should be unfinished business. That's how Roberts officially makes it. So.
Okay.
That we don't have to. I don't think we have to vote on that. That's how it's supposed to be. We could just throw that in. Okay?
Treat that as a scrivener's error.
Are you a scrivener?
It's why I'm in radio. Okay. So I heard Bill object to Serene's modification of my amendment. So we will take a vote on that. Our Paul, could you call the roll?
May I respond?
Sure.
Okay, so briefly, because the agenda takes more time than anything else. This thing about the underwriting actually came up today. So a perfectly diligent member of the committee would have no clue. And she said she hasn't had time to read it. So I think as a courtesy, and I think it's only reasonable, I think it's a very reasonable request that she wants to read it before we talk about it. And that's why I'm proposing that we amend the agenda as I proposed. Thanks.
Okay. So to clarify what's going on with the vote, if you vote yes, that is voting to make the affiliates underwriting program the second issue of substance on our agenda. It becomes 4B. If you vote no, that puts us back to a discussion of putting it further up the agenda. It would be before item 4, immediately after minutes approval. Paul, can you please call the roll?
Okay. Lydia Brazan? Adriana Kasanov?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
Abstain.
Marcus Jetter? Chair should make an announcement later. R. Paul Martin? Abstain. Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Serene Roberts?
Yes.
Barbara Whipperman, okay. All right. Is there anybody I missed who's on the call? No. It's 4-4, one against, two abstentions.
Great. Thank you, R. Paul. So that is now the main amendment. I believe we have to vote on it again because we got into sub-amendments. The vote has the same effect as last time. Does anyone object to this? Hearing none, the agenda is amended by acclamation. Does anyone object to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, the agenda is now approved.
Bill?
We're on to minutes approval.
Oh.
Yesterday, our Paul Martin distributed minutes from our meeting.
I was trying to get the floor, Brian. This is Bill. I think we're going to need more than an hour's time to talk about all this if we're going to get to all those motions. So I'd like to make an amendment that we have a two-hour meeting, that we adjourn in 2 hours after we convened. So we're just amending the adjournment time.
So you're proposing to change the adjournment time to what time?
Well, that would be about...
not about.
Well, 9:40 Pacific. Excuse me, 8:40 Pacific. Sorry.
8:40 Pacific would be making it a 3 hour and 10 minute.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, yep. You're right. Well, okay. Let me go central time. 9:40. That's where I am.
Okay.
9:40 central.
The proposal is 9:40 Central, which is 7:40 Pacific and 10:40 Eastern. Is there an objection to that?
I object.
Okay. Does anyone wish to debate, or can we go straight to the vote?
I would do an hour and 15 minutes. I don't think we need 2 hours. I think we just need to be brief. Folks are traveling in 2 days. I know I'm in a crunch. But no, I don't want to be on the phone 2 hours tonight. I'm not even sure I'm clear on what the urgency is for discussing the affiliates thing tonight, but it is what it is. But no, not 2 hours, not for me.
Point of information?
Yes, is that John?
Yes, John. The reason or the actual request was from Lydia, and I'm sorry she's not here this evening, for the Finance Committee to look at this and perhaps hopefully give approval to it being advanced to the PNB this weekend at the in-person meeting. That's the it's not urgent in the sense of being something that the proposal itself does not have to be adopted tonight, but we want to move it to the PNB agenda for, I believe, Saturday, and that would be contingent on the coming out of the Finance Committee, per Lydia.
Does that mean it hasn't come through the Affiliates Task Force?
Ursula?
The Affiliates Task Force has not convened this year. There is no such thing right now.
Gotcha.
I think they're planning to have a meeting possibly in the near future, but there has been no Affiliates Task Force.
You know, I will tell you, John, my understanding was that you were asking for a financial impact review, which the committee frequently has done in the past, basically commented solely on the financial impacts of something.
Yes.
But making it the committee's motion would be endorsing a, endorsing this as a strategy, not just advising the board on whether it's a realistic projection or not.
Right.
I think as the executive director, you can put anything on the agenda of the national board that you want. It doesn't have to move through committee.
I'm just, as I say quite frequently, being new on the job, I sought direction from the board, PNB board chair, and that was the procedure she recommended to me. So,
okay. I guess we'll sort that out when we get to it on the agenda.
Sure.
The motion is about changing our adjournment time. We've had an argument against from Serene. Does anyone want to make a pitch for, or can we go right to the vote? Hearing no further discussion, we'll go right to the vote. This is on extending the agendized adjournment time of the meeting to 7:40 Pacific, 10:40 Eastern. Paul?
Okay. Lydia Brezon? Adriana Kasanov?
No.
Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
No.
Marcus Jeter? R. Paul Martin? No. Tony Norman?
No.
Michael Novick?
Abstain. I'd like more time, but not that much more time.
Serene Roberts?
No.
Barbara Lipperman? Okay. Anybody here who I missed? 1-4, 5 against, 1 abstention.
Thanks, Paul. So that fails. Any further amendments to the agenda?
Serene?
Yes, Serene?
Reluctantly, move that we adjourn at 10:15 Eastern.
This is to extend the adjournment time to 10:15 Eastern, which is 7:15 Pacific and 9:15 Central. Any debate? Any objection?
8:15 Central.
Excuse me, did I misspeak?
8:15 Central.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that extension? Okay. The agenda as amended now has an adjournment time of 7:15 Pacific, 8:15 Central, 10:15 Eastern. Any further amendments to the agenda? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we now have an agenda, and we are on to minutes approval. Yesterday, our Paul sent out minutes for our last meeting on May 26th. Do I have a motion to approve them?
So moved.
Sterling Roberts moves approval of the minutes. Does anyone wish to propose any amendments? Hearing no amendments, is there any objection to the minutes of May 26th?
I need to abstain.
Okay. Our Paul, call the roll, please.
Okay, give me a second. Okay, on approving the minutes of the last meeting, which, by the way, were sent out on Sunday, not Monday, Lydia Brezon, Adriana Kasanov, Bill Crozier?
Yes.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert?
Yes.
Marcus Jeter, R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
I actually have an amendment. I'm sorry. I guess I'm going to vote no and amend it after or something.
Serene Roberts?
Okay.
Barbara Whipperman?
I'm sorry. Is there any objection to reopening discussion for an amendment? If there's not, then we'll flex the rules enough so you can do that, Michael.
Okay, in the station-by-station budget preparation updates for KPMK, it should say the treasurer met with, rather than is meeting with, the general manager, business manager, and then it says the station showed the station a little ahead of budget in fiscal year 2015. That's only on the income side. It's correct, in the next sentence, it says they're over budget for expenses, but a little ahead of budget for income, but over budget for expenses.
Okay, where are we here?
In the station-by-station budget preparations updates,
yeah.
KPFK. So the treasurer met rather than is meeting with the general manager, the business manager, and then they showed the station a little ahead of budget for income for fiscal year 2015, but over budget for expenses.
A little ahead of budget. They showed the station a little ahead of budget for
income,
for revenue, for
revenue. Okay, revenue for fiscal year 2015, but over budget for expenses.
Okay, let's take them one at a time. So the First Amendment is on page 3 of these minutes. In the paragraph that begins KPFK, the proposal is to strike the words in the first line, is meeting, and replace them with the word met. Is there any objection to that? Hearing no objection, that line of the minutes is amended. Can we get a page and paragraph reference for the second change, Michael?
Same paragraph, three sentences in. After the semicolon, says they showed the station a little ahead of budget for revenue for fiscal year 2015, but over budget for expenses.
That's what you, in other words, that's what you wanted to say.
That is what I said at the meeting.
Got it. Those are the words you want the minutes to contain.
Yes. That's what I said at the meeting, and that's what the minutes should show.
Okay. Paul, were you scrivening fast enough to get that down?
Yeah, change it to a little ahead of budget for revenue for FY15, but are over budget for expenses.
Okay. Is there any objection to that amendment to the minutes? Hearing none, the minutes are so amended. Was there anything further, Michael?
No.
Michael, your phone is very muddy. I don't know if there's something you can do to get the receiver closer to your mouth, but I'm having a hard time understanding you.
Okay. I just got a new phone. Hang on.
All right. All right. Any further changes to the minutes?
This is Bill.
Yes,
just,
Bill?
Just one word. On page 2, on the paragraph that starts, the committee discussed the executive director's report. I believe, in the second sentence, it says he didn't know when the FY14 would start. I think that means the FY14 audit. Just so add the word audit after FY14. Insert that word.
Paul, do you have it?
Yeah, I'm writing it down here for the minutes. Hold on.
Sorry, I should have sent that earlier. I forgot.
Okay, I got it.
Okay, Arpal, can you give us the citation and then read the proposed text?
Okay. Well, it says, In response to committee members' questions, the executive director said that he didn't know when the FY14 would start, and this would change it, didn't know when the FY14 audit would start.
Okay. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, the minutes are so amended. Any further amendments to the minutes? All right. Any objection to the minutes as amended?
Yes, an objection.
Okay. You want to be recorded as an abstention, correct, sir?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Paul, can you call the roll on the minutes as amended?
Okay. Lydia Brazan, Adriana Kasanov, Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Yes.
Marcus Jeter, Paul Martin. Yes. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Yes.
Serene Roberts.
Okay.
Barbara Whipperman. Okay, 5-4-0 against, 1 abstention.
Great. Minutes are now approved. We're on to old business, item 4A, LSB review budget motion. This is a motion from Adriana Kasanov that is pending at the Pacifica National Board. We discussed it in great detail at our last meeting. Several members of this committee discussed changes they would like to see, but no one submitted changes in writing. So I sent out a list of what people had proposed in hopes that they could bring back specific amendments for discussion at this meeting. So, have at it.
Bill for the stack.
Go ahead, Bill.
I sent out a substitute motion earlier today. Hope you got that. It's only about 4 or 5 hours ago.
Was it its own email, or was it in your reply line on the agenda?
It was on my reply line to the agenda. And I marked all the changes in red. And I tried to include all the suggestions that people made at our last meeting. Hope I got all those.
Got it. Okay. Is anybody not at a computer who needs that read to them?
This is Serene.
Mm-hmm.
Adriana didn't answer the last couple of times she was called, and this is sort of her motion that she brought to the PND that we're discussing. I'm just wondering, you know, whether or not it's reasonable or sensible for us to continue without her input. But
you can certainly propose to table it until she's back on the call. That would be not debatable, and we could take it back up at any point by an undebatable vote.
Can I propose to table that and the affiliates thing, since she wanted to read that before discussing it?
You'd have to make two separate motions. You'd have to propose tabling the affiliates when we brought it up.
I propose tabling this motion until Adriana rejoins the call.
Any objection to the motion table? Hearing none, this motion and the attached amendment are both tabled. We're on to the affiliates underwriting proposal.
Serene?
Yes, Serene?
Sorry, Ursula. I move to table until Adriana rejoins the call.
Any objection to that motion to table?
Yes, it's Bill.
Okay. It's not debatable. Paul, can you please call the roll on tabling the discussion of the affiliates program?
Okay, one second. Okay, the motion is to table the affiliates motion agenda item. Lydia Brezon, Adriana Kasanov, Bill Crozier.
No.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Abstain.
Marcus Jeter, R. Paul Martin. No. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Abstain.
Serene Roberts.
Yes.
And Barbara Wipperman. It is 2-4, 2 against, 2 abstentions.
Tied vote fails. So we are on to the affiliates discussion. We've got about 15 minutes set aside for this. What we have written up is in the form of a proposal, not a motion, from Ursula Rudenberg. 8 pages long and detailed, so I'm not going to ask anyone to read it verbatim on the call, because that would be the rest of the call. But Ursula, we have about 15 minutes for this. Do you want to take 5 minutes to start a discussion off with kind of the highlights? Ursula, you still
with us? Sorry, yeah. Sorry, I was getting myself off of speakerphone.
It was muted, yeah.
Well, this is a proposal that I first brought to the Pacifica Board, I can't remember, I think a year or two ago, and it's really the result of an understanding that is about 5 years of my own, that the most pressing need that Pacifica could serve right now to community radio would be the financial hardship that everybody in community radio is experiencing. We're losing affiliates. Up until about 3 years ago, we had 100% payment with no attrition. These days, I'm almost a collection agency because everybody's struggling to pay their fees. And the whole medium is under threat for financial reasons. The old system of listener sponsorship under these economic times just isn't adequate to sustain this media. And so it became clear to me when I first took this job as affiliate director in 2003, programming was really the need, and infrastructure for sharing programming was the expressed need. Pacifica boldly moved forward with that, although many people were skeptical. And we created AudioPort, and it turned out to be a smashing success, and none of the problems anticipated emerged, probably mostly because the affiliate program has a cooperative culture that is able to handle a lot more than most, large groups of people can. It's a network in the truest sense of the word. And so within the last 5 years, it became clear to me that really the pressing need was financial support, and there is no nationally coordinated effort that supports grassroots radio explicitly. And we're all feeling the squeeze. And this is an incredible opportunity for Pacifica to reclaim its leadership role, step forward, and do something that not only helps itself, but really reassert Pacifica's leadership in the area of grassroots community radio to really address a need that nobody has, else has been able to address. And we have the good fortune of having a large network. The Pacifica has been trying to have an affiliate program probably since the 1970s, and in the last 10 years, we finally succeeded at this. And we have a relatively substantial network. And so we have this huge asset that we could use at this point to help ourselves and to serve in the, you know, support of community radio as a medium. And I'm not, this is not, you know, rhetoric on my part. This is very, very real. And I know this because I'm actually at an affiliate myself. And it is hard, I think, sometimes for people inside Pacifica to really understand the impact and the importance that an affiliate network has for the rest of the country and, you know, the what Pacifica still stands for. So this is the bottom line. I've been looking for about 5 years to figure out what that means. And finally, I've had a lot of business consulting myself. I came up with a lot of plans that weren't the best idea. But this is a very, very good idea. It's been tested. We have people who are eager to help us make it succeed up in Minnesota. And by all counts, this has a great advantage that it would produce money rather quickly, whereas other plans wouldn't. And so I would like to try it. And I would like to say that, you know, Pacifica did not sit on its hands while community radio started to struggle, you know, go under financially. I'd like to say that we took action, and I would like to do it. There is another dimension to this too. You know, the affiliate program has reached a certain level of maturity. So have I. And the bottom line is that if we don't, in a sense, take the next step with the affiliate program and have it mature financially as well as structurally, you know, Pacifica is going to have to ask the question, do they want to really have an affiliate program? Because, you know, the affiliate program has kind of been treated like a pilot project in a way. It doesn't have any institutionalized structure in Pacifica, so it's extremely dependent on my personality. And I'm not good for, you know, another 10 years. I'm timing out, and I think it's time for us to come up with a succession plan anyway. And this is really the first step because it grounds the program in a real financial base, which, you know, goes beyond the assets of the five Pacifica stations, but really now relies on the assets that, you know, 150 or some stations are willing to offer us, which is their airtime. And I think I've made it clear to everybody this is not a proposal for Pacifica stations. That's outside the scope of my, you know, planning. This is about working with affiliates who voluntarily participate in the program. I have not really pushed the program heavily because I don't feel I'm in a position to do so yet, but even without doing that, 70 stations have already said they would like to do this as soon as possible. They write to me regularly and say, you know, do you have anything yet? Let's get started. And we've been adding a lot of large cities to our network. Milwaukee affiliated today. They're the 27th largest city in the country. We have Detroit. We have New Orleans. We have a lot of large cities in our network right now. And, you know, we have a national market that's significant. And it's really clear to me that affiliation fees is not a financial model for our network in the next 10 years. It will not survive on that because people can't pay their fees. They're getting less and less able to do so. And it's really the size of our network and our ability to leverage a network that has value, not the fees, because the stations are in the same situation our stations are. They're struggling. They're struggling to figure out how to support themselves. So that's essentially the broad outline. The business plan I've submitted to you, it's a plan which has been tested over the last 5 years by this organization, AMPERS in Minnesota. They have made a lot of mistakes, and they agency has learned from them, and they have given me the business formula, which they say does work. And they are prepared to help us, to shepherd us in terms of, you know, the ins and outs of running such a program. So it's an ambitious program. I think we're the people to do it. I think it behooves us. I think you, the Pacifica National Board, as well as myself and the executive staff, have the opportunity to actually do something that is historically significant here. And, you know, eventually somebody else will do it if we don't, but it will not be mission-driven the way we would do it. Our program would be mission-driven, which I think is a very exciting aspect of this, because there are, you know, elements in the business world, in the NGO world, that are really looking to build a positive future, and there's a lot of synergy there that we could tap into. So I think I'll end with that. I don't want to take up the whole time, because obviously I need to hear your thoughts.
Okay. Does everyone understand the mechanism by which the revenue to Pacifica Foundation would be generated?
No. That was going to be the question I was going to ask.
Sure.
Okay.
Ursula, go ahead.
Yeah, let me try and outline this as clearly as possible. The idea is that what we're selling ourselves at Pacifica is our ability to organize and leverage the airtime of the affiliates in our network. So, for instance, a few years ago, I went to Equal Exchange in New York City at an eco fair, and I said, you know, if I were to sell you an underwriting package where you could have, like, you know, 20 stations around the country in major markets underwriting on their stations, would you be interested? And they said, of course we would. So in a sense, what we would be doing is we would be approaching, my office would be approaching an underwriter, say like Equal Exchange, and we would be saying to them, we have, 100 stations in our group underwriting program. Which one of these markets are you interested in putting an underwriting mention, which is basically, you know, it's not attached to programming. It would be attached to the station. So that on in Denver, Colorado, it would say, you know, KGNU is, funded in part by Equal Exchange, like you hear on NPR, basically. So we would, in a sense, design a campaign by campaign, a plan for an underwriter for which stations they wanted to have a mention on. And then we would attach a price to that. And then they would pay us for that. And then we would arrange to have this mention put on the stations that are in the plan. And then we would then divide the money between Pacifica. Pacifica would get an administration fee. And then we would divide the money between, the stations as well that aired the mention. There's also in the plan, there's a dividend so that anybody that is in the plan, whether they air a mention or not, gets a certain percentage. And that's an incentive to be in the program. And so it's basically, you know, the basic idea is that an underwriter pays us to have, you know, their name put on a certain number of stations around the country. And they're not going to want to go to all these different stations, but they are going to want to go to a network who can make this happen.
A single source.
And then a single source. So we're getting paid really not for airtime. We're getting paid for the fact that we run a network. That's where we're making our money. The affiliates are offering their airtime as a resource, and they're getting paid for offering airtime.
I would like to add, if I could, Ursula, just to emphasize the point to the committee that none of this has any on-air impact on any of the five Pacifica stations. That's an entirely separate and different discussion at some future time, perhaps. It's, you know, it has all kinds of policy issues. What we're talking about is an income stream for administering a program that puts underwriting on the affiliate stations that want to participate, not Pacifica stations per se.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me jump in here because we've almost burned up the time on this agenda item. You know, what I see is in the committee's purview is to kind of go over the numbers, kick the tires, and tell the board whether we think it's realistic and let the board draw its own conclusions about the strategic direction and mission of Pacifica. So I want us to avoid arguing the moralities of the proposal and kind of stick to the nuts and bolts to make sure that we have a good understanding. And that's where I'd like the committee to direct its conversation. Now, the rubric that's in here is that of every underwriting dollar that comes in, 15% is divided between all the stations in the program. That's proportionate to their size, is divided equally.
No, that is just an equal division. That's a straight-up dividend. There's no math there. It's just depending on how
you have an affiliate in Chicago, they get the same as in LPFM.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is what dividend, not the for participating in the campaign.
Yeah, that's just a straight-up, you know, you're paid for being part of the program.
Okay. 25% of each underwriting dollar is dividing between all stations that are that are running that specific underwriting credit.
Yeah.
Correct.
And now in that case, the amount they receive is according to the value in their market.
Okay. So you basically set a rate for each station.
There are rate categories, and the stations are fit into those categories.
41% of each underwriting dollar goes towards Pacifica administrative costs. Of that 41%, 25% goes to the affiliate program, 16% goes to, it says Pacifica Foundation Radio. I assume you mean the national office.
Yeah, the national office.
Okay. 19% is a sales commission.
Yeah.
70% of that 19% to the affiliate's coordinator. 30% of that 19% to an assistant. So these are in the form of commission-based pay bonuses?
Yeah, it's basically what pays for the labor of the project.
Okay. And does this proposal entail adding any staff who are not currently on payroll?
No, right now we're not saying that because I don't see the numbers for that. Now, I'm proposing that at a certain point, if a certain amount of money is made, I would like to add a salesperson, but that's not right now what we're proposing. We're not proposing a staff increase right now. We're going to try and do, I mean, this is a pilot project. This is not, you know, so we're going to try and do it this way. The only place where I could see possibly an increase is that if the bookkeeping ends up being a huge amount of work, we may need a few extra hours for the bookkeeper of the affiliates program. But right now, we're not saying that. We're going to try and do it without it.
Michael, do a snack.
I'm going to finish running through the numbers, and then I'll take a snack. On the projected revenue and costs, which are immediately below this rubric, you project first-year income, six campaigns, $30,000 each, totaling $180,000 gross income. That's what would be divided up according to the percentages that we just ran through. Then it says income to Pacifica National, $45,000. Income for investment in affiliate program, $45,000.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that might be a typo. Let me take a look at that. I think that's a typo. Hold on just a minute, because that doesn't make sense.
Right.
I can correct that. Give me a second. Okay, let me take a look at that. It's 45 affiliate network, 28,800 national office.
And this is from that 41% that's going to administrative costs.
Yeah, that's the breakdown.
Okay.
That's
percentage.
A quarter to the affiliates and a sixth to the...
Sorry about that.
And then finally, under expenses, you say you have a grant balance of a little more than $2,000 to pay startup costs?
We had a grant from Organic Valley, and of that, about $2,000 is left. But we also have about, we have some money from one of our affiliates who's given quite a bit of money. And if need, we could possibly use some of that.
Sorry.
They've given us $12,000.
That money is restricted to... It's earmarked for developing an underwriting cost?
Well, it's a little bit of a... But what it is that the first... I think about the first $9,000 were really restricted to an improvement to AudioPort, which I seem to be... I never seem to be able to get done to pay for a lawyer. And but the last donation he gave, which I think was $3,000, he didn't put any restriction on it. He just gave it to us and didn't say anything.
Hello?
Okay. Hey, Adriana, welcome back.
No, I'm sorry. I was on the whole time. I was writing. I lost my phone. I can hear all of you, but I couldn't go out of mute. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, at least you know where we're at.
And Bill for the stack.
Yeah.
So then finally on expenses, you say an unknown amount for attorney's fees, lawyer's fees. What are the tasks you would anticipate would incur attorney's fees?
I can see four tasks right now. One is that we would have to make a contract template for underwriters. We would also want to make a contract template for affiliates participating in the program. The third thing is that I do think that this is something that, Brian, you mentioned. I don't think this is a big thing, but there needs to be probably some statement made that, because this is a new, it would be in a sense an expansion of Pacifica services so that it doesn't end up getting taxed as the unrelated business income. I spoke with Ampers, and they say it's not a big thing, but you probably need a lawyer to add that language to wherever it needs to be added. So that's a task that probably would have to be accomplished. And lastly, there might be a potential for some sort of agreement between my office and Pacifica. That's a little bit vaguer because I'm not sure what the payment plan is going to end up being. But I would say the big tasks in the near future are the contracts that we need with the underwriters and with our affiliates so that as we start the program, those terms are clear. Although, interestingly enough, Ampers doesn't use contracts, but they're not, they're working with 14 stations. We're working with 100 or more, so.
All right, and final question, then I'll open up the stack. When you say a campaign at $30,000, is that one underwriting buy, or is that several?
Yes.
Okay.
So
it's one underwriter spread out over many stations.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Each campaign is really a different design. It's not a uniform thing.
And you are anticipating how many stations would be part of a given campaign?
I don't think anybody knows. Because nobody's ever done anything on this scale. The folks in Ampers, they usually have about 10 stations per campaign, but part of the power of what we're doing here is that we have a much, much larger market, a much more diverse market. So I don't know. I would think maybe 20 stations per campaign, 25, something like that.
Okay. Well, I would one thing I would say is I would encourage you to maybe think that out and talk it through with Ampers about what it would take to scale up, because from the point of view of the question that you raised earlier, whether you would need to add more bookkeeping resources, the difference between cutting 10 checks to stations and cutting 100 checks to stations and entering all the bookkeeping entries is a lot of person time. I heard Michael for the stack. I heard Bill for the stack.
Adriana?
I've got Michael, Adriana. Bill, Adriana. Who else?
Serene.
Serene. Who else? Okay. And I will note we are past the time we had for this agenda item. Does anyone object to extending it 15 minutes? All right. Hearing none, our new end time for this item is 6:45 Pacific, 9:45 Eastern.
Quick question?
Yes, Serene?
We're extending the item, not the meeting, correct?
Correct.
Very good. Thanks.
Michael, you're first.
Okay. I think it would be helpful if there were some figures on what Panthers have done in terms of the monetary contribution to their station. So I'm not asking for that now, but I think if you can get that into the report, it would be helpful. On the 19% sales commission, then there's a little sub-item that says if an affiliate recruits an underwriter, that station receives 10% firm sales commission. And it's not clear to me how you're talking about that. Is that instead of the sales commission going to the affiliate coordinator and assistant, it goes to the station that recruits the underwriter, or some part of it does? Or is that 10% of the whole thing or 10% of the 19%?
Could you repeat that? I didn't understand. Are you saying...
You have a figure that says 19% sales commission, and there's a little box.
Mm-hmm.
It says sales commission,
yeah.
70% to affiliate, 30% to assistant. Then it says if an affiliate station, I assume, recruits an underwriter, that station receives 10% from sales commission. And
that's
clear to me.
That would come out of the 19% then.
They would get 10 of the 19%, then the 9% would then get divided 70-30.
Yeah.
Okay. That's clear. I had one other question there. I lost it. Go ahead. We'll come back.
Okay, we can come back to you, Michael. Bill, you're next.
Okay, thank you. I won't go into all the details because we obviously don't have time to talk about all the details, but I just want to say I think this is the kind of thing we need to be looking more at. We need to look at new ways of raising revenue and increasing our connections with our affiliates and growing our affiliate network and helping everyone. I realize this provides not much money for just Pacifica and this pilot program, but and of course the details can change. If it's successful, we could change some of the details anyway to see what works. But I think this is good that Ursula's worked on learning from what Ampers. That's a Minnesota public radio group. Is that right?
It's a community radio group
okay.
in Minnesota.
I mean, to learn from what they've built on what they've learned and that sort of thing. And I think it also addresses the big concern that so many of us have, which is, you know, could underwriting affect our programming? That's what everybody's afraid of. And I think you addressed that very well in the proposal. And I'm really glad that you put that explicitly in there, how you want to connect with. I'm looking at page 5 on that, the Word document about connecting with people that engage in fair and equal treatment and, you know, engage in fair labor practices and financial transparency and all that sort of thing. So, and promoting human rights. So I think those are the kind of organizations that I don't think most Pacificans would have objections to dealing with. And it would not bring in the kind of problems that we've seen in public TV and even NPR. So I appreciate your looking into this. I hope the PNB will look at it in more detail at the meeting this weekend.
Thank you.
I wrote my other question.
We're going to put you at the bottom of the stack for
okay,
it, though,
sure.
Michael. Adriana, you're next.
Yes. I'm very sorry, but I remember that in February 2014, you present something similar to this one, Ursula, and I think that the PNB rejected. What I don't understand is we are 6 months into this calendar 2015 year. The Pacifica affiliate didn't do any meeting. This wasn't talked in the right committee that is the affiliate task force. And what I don't understand why it's being rushed in the last minute to the finance committee that we had. I have a motion that is in support of last year. Other motions are exactly the same situation. I don't understand what we have to do, the finance committee in this case with this thing. I think that we are receiving backslash from our stations. I do at least. about underwriting. We know that, I don't know how we can go, we talk permanently about we don't have underwriters. How will be the limits? You know, I heard in D.C. and I heard more than once, ethical underwriters. I didn't hear, John, you were giving a long period of time in NPR. Did you hear ever NPR talking about unethical underwriters? Do they have unethical ones and then we have the ethical ones? Underwriters are underwriters. What I don't understand, why is our committee, National Finance Committee, need to talk this? Because, obviously, that could be presented, like happened before, to the PNB. We are taking the time from the Finance Committee in something that really was, I mean, since when we have this specific proposal? You know, it's something that we need to really study, that we need to look in detail. How can we make a decision just like that?
If I may make a comment, yes. The proposal is a test program, data test to see if this is potential to raise underwriting income at affiliate stations, not Pacifica stations, and the administrative fee from those participating affiliate stations then come to Pacifica. We're not running underwriting messages on Pacifica.
Well, I want to jump in here. It's not the National Finances Committee's decision whether this is a good idea or a direction for Pacifica's mission to go in. I do think it's very healthy for anything with hard dollar numbers on it to come to this committee for review before it goes to a discussion of the Pacifica Board. And lest we get bogged down in a much longer discussion than we have time for, that's where I'd like us to focus our attention. It did come to the National Board last year. The National Board did not vote on it one way or another. Board members expressed their opinions, and as far as I know, this is the first follow-up at the governance level, and this is a better process than having it sprung on the board right at the meeting. So I want to thank John and Ursula for that. Serene, you're next.
Okay, thanks. Other question, Ursula, when you presented this in February 2014 in D.C., I understood that you had gotten, correct me, it's been a while, but I understood that you'd gotten clearance from the then IED to go ahead with the test run, correct?
Yes.
Okay, and what has the result been?
Nothing, because that ED was fired, and there, you know, has been no significant leadership to work with, and, you know, that we were not able to move the project forward.
Okay, so it hasn't, the test run has not happened.
Nothing has happened other than, you know, yeah, this is really, as I think Brian said, this is really the next significant step.
And if I might add, please, the reason for that significant step is my arrival. I think the proposal is an excellent proposal, and as ED, I plan to present it as such to the National Board once the Finance Committee says whatever it chooses to say, I guess I might say. But the reason it's going forward now is that I've read it carefully, and I think it's I would call it a no-brainer. With Pacifica's financial situation, the chance to have an additional source of income is something that really needs to be tested. And we're talking about a test, not a finished product.
Okay. I'm sorry, I wasn't... May I finish?
You get one more follow-up, Serene.
Okay, thanks. So the affiliate task force has not met in 2015, but it did meet in 2014. I don't think I made all the meetings, because part of the problem was that the meetings were starting earlier than I could get to them. So I might have missed whether there was any discussion of this during those meetings. So I wanted to ask you if there was anything there.
You know, in my memory, it's kind of hard for me to remember, but in my memory, in most of the reports I made, I said that we were working on it, but
I don't think, if I remember correctly, there wasn't a lot of significant discussion about it. Honestly, I don't remember. The task force is by definition not necessarily defined itself as the body to make these proposals. So I don't remember what happened, honestly. But what was clear was that without clear executive leadership, it was kind of difficult to move forward.